had one of your answers had something along the lines of one of the most difficult things in professional sports is consistency.
Yeah.
What do you think this team needs to do in order to be consistent?
I think there's a couple things. I think first we look individually, you know, and the guys focusing on their tasks and their assignments for each game and being able to perform them. And then, you know, you look collectively that we're coming up with a game plan that's going to help them succeed and put them in positions to be successful. So, you know, I think that individually the guys need to, you know, focus on how they can reach their levels every game, and then collectively as a team, you know, are they functioning together and working together and cooperating on the pitch.
What have you seen from Tony Chani as far as like a development standpoint to where he's at right now in the season?
You know, Tony's played the most minutes on the whole team. We know that, right? We've talked about that, I think, on
fourth in the league.
On Tuesday, right? Fourth in the league, so he's played a lot of minutes. So he, you know, he's developing that consistency. He's a guy that we, you know, that we pick, you know, game in and game out to be on the field and to perform. So for him, it's about understanding how he's effective and when he can be effective. There's certain things that he does really, really well, and that's what we want to focus on, his strengths. And, you know, and by doing that, we're going to minimize his weaknesses.
You had a couple of guys named to Costa Rica's provisional roster for the Central American Cup. What is your take on that? I mean, is that something you can release guys for? Is that a mandated time?
I think I have to check the ruling. I think we're mandated to do that.
Okay.
You know, and we have an agreement with the Costa Rican Federation, so we have to circle back with them and figure out how we want to plan that moving forward.
Okay. Is that another one of those situations where you're happy to see guys get national team moments, but you're also, you could lose guys for 2 games?
You know, I'm normally supportive of guys joining the national team. I think it's a good exposure for both the club and the individual. You know, I want to see how that fits into our schedule and, you know, what potential time they'd be missing.
Yeah, the games they would miss at Montreal Chivas and Montreal. Yeah.
2 games?
Yeah, it would be 2 games in Costa Rica.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll discuss that.
Any update on Giancarlo and if teams are still after him or where you guys stand in that whole process?
No, I mean, again, the European window is August 31st.
Right.
So, you know, there's always interest and there's always communication. And, you know, what I would say is until that date, you know, it's always going to be an open-ended question because they can come at any time. They can come today.
Has anything changed in the last week? Has anyone, any new offers come about or any new teams come into the picture?
No.
Okay. If you were to come to a deal, how does that work when you're working with the league and all? I mean, I think fans look at it, I think it's just the crew trying to make a deal, but you have to work with the league as well, right?
Yeah, no, the league gets a certain percentage, you know, and then, you know, we can use a certain percentage for allocation and we can use a certain percentage for other soccer operations related things.
Okay.
So it's not a simple, you know, the fee is what we get.
Right.
You know, it is distributed.
And does his previous club get part of that too? Is that?
You know, there's written in the contract that they have a small percentage of it, yes.
Okay.
Does the way that that's all divided up play into your decision?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Does it make it less likely to sell a guy like that, given that he's such an important part of the team?
Not necessarily. It makes the number more. You know, it makes us have to get a higher number,
right,
to make it worthwhile.
Is that hard to communicate to some of these teams
from
Europe?
No, not at all.
Do they have situations like that,
no,
or is it more straightforward?
What they have is sell-ons from other clubs,
right.
But you know, normally it's not the percentages that we're talking about. But you just explain to them, listen, here's the policy. The league technically owns all the players.
Right.
They get a share of it. We have to pay back the, you know, the fee that we paid for him. Don't forget about that. That cuts away from the number as well. So, you know, we want to make sure, you know, it's the right number and the right situation, you know, before we act, if we act.
The last time we talked about it, you said, you know, you guys have been in communication. You and Giancarlo have been in communication a lot. And he's great about it. Is there any sense that, you know, he's getting, you know, antsy about this or you know, nervous about what's going on since his future is very much in flux right now?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, he's realistic and he, you know, he's waiting for the right opportunity. If the right opportunity comes along, he's happy here. He likes the team. He likes the club. He likes the city. So, you know, all those things are real positive.
If he were to come to you and say, you know, this is a thing that, this is something I want to pursue, like this is a club I want to go play for. How do you respond in a situation like that?
I think like you would if any other player came to you. You'd say, okay, well, what has been the communication with the other club? What are we talking about? What have they offered us, basically? And that's the first question that needs to be answered.
Do you feel, are you guys close to making any other moves right now?
That's hard to tell as well. I think that, we're moving. We're moving towards something, but like I said, in this business, it's until we have ink on paper, we're not close.
There's a report that Lucas Podolski, I believe is his name, has an offer from MLS.
Really?
Is that someone you guys have interest in, or is that offer from you guys?
I wouldn't comment on players that aren't in our organization.
Is he somebody you guys have looked at?
Lucas Podolski? We've all looked at him. I mean, what are we talking about here? Everyone's looked at him. He's a World Cup champion.
Yeah.
He's a World Cup champ, man.
Last week, we talked about LA and them getting going at the right time of the season, and you mentioned it was the veteran presence, and they've been there and done that.
Yeah.
Houston's a team that usually is thought of in the same way, but they're a younger team. Look at their roster and watch them play. They've got a lot of younger guys. What do they do that usually gets them moving in the right direction come playoff time that may be different than the
Cavs? I think it's a well-coached team, first of all. Dom has a specific way to play, and he sticks to it, and he gets the guys to believe in it and execute it, and I think that's important. The other thing is they have the core group of guys was usually there together. So they're able to, feed off each other and push towards success. This year, I think they're playing a lot better now. They've started to perform better. And, they added some new pieces, some quality pieces. So I think it's a good team.
Core group of guys, Brad Davis, Ricardo Clark.
It usually has been, yeah. I mean, now it's a little bit different, but they had, the center backs, the same goalie, the same forwards, the same midfielders. So normally it was a consistent group together that, they were relying on.
Right. You mentioned Beasley, Garrido, the new guys. Yeah. What have they done to change the look since you saw them earlier this season?
Well, Beasley's played in 4 World Cups. He's a guy that knows what's going on. Playing in big games is nothing for him. Garrido's, a guy who also has international experience. So, these guys bring routine to the table, and when you look at, their midfield specifically, it's a talented group.
You guys are unbeaten when you lead at halftime this year, which, obviously leads are good. But I wonder, is the style that you have your team play in, does that make it difficult when teams are trying to chase the game against you to come back because you can open them up easier going back the other way and hold down on leads?
I hope so. I mean, that'd be nice.
After the game, you mentioned how we've talked about Steve Clark coming up big multiple times this season. What does he do? What is his biggest attribute that you guys, when you brought him in that you were looking for, and what has he shown you that's been his best qualities since he's been here? Obviously he's been a big part of, the team defensively, the team as a whole, and brings energy at teams.
I don't know where to begin with that, because there's a lot of attributes. I think first and foremost he's a winner. He's a guy that wants to compete. And that's a strong quality. But then you go the fact that he makes big saves. That he's good with his feet. That he doesn't get flustered when he gives up a goal. I mean, all these things come into play for goalkeepers. And he's been handling all this really well. I mean, normally goalies, are disappointed when they don't get more shutouts. But he keeps level-headed, and he understands how we play. And I think he's doing a great job.
And his ability to play with his feet. Is that something you really were focused on because of the style you were?
That's everything, man. If we don't have that, we're in trouble.
I saw him in an article that came out yesterday that made 10 uncapped players for the United States that you think would maybe get a shot, and they had his name on there, which maybe the first time I've seen him in that sort of conversation.
Well, that's a goal of his, and we want to help him get there. I mean, I truly believe he can, he can perform at that level. I think he has the necessary mentality to do it, and hopefully he will.
How's Roman doing? It's been
doing good. He's doing well. Doing really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I wondered your thoughts on if you had any on Tim Leewicki, or Leewicki, however you say it, leaving MLSE. I wonder if that was a guy whose path crossed when you were in LA, and just maybe what he's meant to league or what he's meant? I mean, did you have any interactions with that guy?
I had a lot of interactions with him, and he's a great guy. And you know, he's a guy that's continually pushing the envelope, and you know, has a lot, you know, of, you know, deserves a lot of credit for where the MLS is now.
Mm-hmm.
He's a visionary. You know, he thinks big, and he likes to go after it. So, you know, he's good for the game of soccer.
Is he one of the candidates to be the new business director of business operations here? Yeah, go after him.
We've known about the rebrand for a long time. We've known it was coming, but the official announcement came yesterday.
Yeah.
What, if any effect does that have on the soccer side of things? Is it just sort of a perception thing?
No, a little bit. I think, you know, that's a good question. You know, I think that if you look at how we've transformed, you know, our side of the operations, you know, we want to reflect, you know, this new image and what we represent, and we're proud to be who we are as a club, and we're, you know, we're proud of the way we're presenting our game, we're proud of the way we treat our players, we're proud of the way we interact with fans, and I think that's, you know, that's all part of this the new brand.
There's been a lot of talk of, you know, the whole hardest working team image and what that crest means and everything like that. Why doesn't that sort of translate to what you're doing right now?
Listen, I would never say that it doesn't translate, because, you know, in front of any good team, there's hard work. So we're never going to say we're not a hard-working team.
Sure.
You know, what I would say is that our emphasis is on different things now. You know, we're emphasizing attacking soccer, we're emphasizing possession, we're emphasizing movement off the ball, taking chances, taking risks, being forward, forward-thinking team. So those are, you know, that's the part of it. But, you know, in the background of all that, it's still hard work.
Yeah. People make a lot of speculation about, you know, how something as seemingly small as a logo can be perceived from around the world or around from players or whatever. When you, as the guy who brings in players, does that have any effect at all? You know, does a player look at the crest and say, I don't love that crest? Is that even something that's worth discussing? Or is that actually a thing that comes into play? Or the brand as a whole?
No, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, what I would say, the brand in whole, as a whole, definitely. You know, you definitely take that into consideration. What does your club stand for? What are your core beliefs of your organization? And players certainly identify with that. I mean, we can go through clubs, you know, Real Madrid, they stand for something really specific. You know, Barcelona, same thing. When you look at these clubs, when you look at even smaller clubs throughout Europe, they you know, it's nice to see the ones that, you know, have this figured out, have it clearly defined.
Mm-hmm.